We always worry and ask, what should we do with our children? These questions are asked regularly. And sometimes I can't stand it anymore. You see, I'm a very calm person, aren't I? I jump up and say, when will we ask, what should we do with ourselves? We're so good, but our children, I don't know what's wrong. It's so amazing. We don't know how to get along with them. The law, and it is the law, that like father, like son. And there can be no sweet water from the bitter source. And a person who can't play the violin won't teach anybody else to play one. So here we face a very difficult spiritual question. Because of our ignorance of orthodoxy, we forgot a very important thing. That first of all, the thing that brings up a person is the atmosphere of the family a child lives in. So the atmosphere it is. So let alone the ideas, but the atmosphere. Please pay attention. How much we allow ourselves in front of our children, how often we pass judgments on our friends, we call them names. So just now we had guests, we were so friendly, and our guests left, and we start talking about them, and we're telling terrible things, and children are just playing, they're not clever, they don't understand. You know, it's a paradox. I'm so surprised to hear. He's not smart, he doesn't understand what we're talking about, but at a different moment we say, wow, they're so smart, our children. So, wow, I don't understand. Are they smart or not smart? Or does it depend on what's more convenient for us at this particular moment? So the atmosphere of life in the place where a child grows up is essential. If we want a child to grow up to be a decent person, we should show a child this decency. When a child sees us flatter the people we're interested in, or when we insult people behind their backs, and just now we call these people our friends, when a child sees our hypocrisy and some of our words and phrases that would make not just people but even paintings blush, what are we doing? When a child sees us lie and teach each other, you should tell him that or her that, we put a child into the atmosphere of dirt. Other than that, we are nice, we don't cheat on each other, we work honestly, we are so decent people, and just you try to tell me that I'm indecent, I will answer you, and you will see who is indecent. So that's how decent we are, and we create such an atmosphere in our family that, God forbid, I come back home from work and I switch on the TV set with my foot. I watch something terrible there and I say to my child, don't watch, you're too young for it, he's too young for it, don't you swear. And he uses swear words when he's teaching his son not to swear. That's how he's teaching him not to use swear words. We watch something disgusting and some disgusting TV programs, but we want our children to be pure. We are doing bad things, but we want our children to be better. An ill-bred person can't bring up a child well. Is it so difficult to understand? It is difficult to understand. Not because of our brain, but it is hard to understand for our willpower. In order to bring up a child well, we should bring up ourselves. And here we come across an obstacle that we fail to overcome. I can't abstain. I can't set an example of abstinence at table. I overeat. I can set an example of how one should drink, I get drunk. I can set an example of how one should talk, because I use swear words. I can set an example of what one should do with their eyes. I watch anything I wish, and so on. And often parents in small children's presence do such things that I can't even talk about here, and we want our children to be like angels. So it's hard to understand, what do we face here? Stupidity or insanity? So is it hard to understand? Children absorb the spirit of parents. Can you hear me? They absorb. They don't just hear some ideas, because our ideas can crash when our children see that our actions do not correspond to our words at all. And then there's nothing surprising than when our children get to school or to the street where the atmosphere is not so nice, then all of it gets twice or three times worse, because a family should be like a castle or a shield or spiritual and psychological protection from all the disgusting things that unfortunately our child can't help hearing and seeing and knowing when they go somewhere out of home. So our task is to make our children ready to it. How can we get them ready? First of all, with our personal example, with our personal Christian life, if we talk of the Christians, with the example of nobility, generosity, honesty. Honesty, not just towards people when we meet them, but honesty towards everyone. A child will see it, and a child will understand what decency and humanity and honesty is. And one of the strongest means of children's corruption is, of course, television. I remember once in Scotland, I talked to one pastor who asked me what he should do with the children. And I asked him, are your television programs interesting? He said, no, it's disgusting, something terrible. And I asked, but do you watch them? He said, sure, of course, we should know everything, and how can we not watch it? But you're saying it's disgusting and you have problems with children. Can't you just throw it out of the window from the fifth floor? No, I can't do it. I can't help watching TV. And the discussion was over, because I saw that we had nothing else to talk about, because I want my child to be nice, but I can't sacrifice anything from myself, even for my children's sake. So my only task is to feed my child and to provide for my child in the same way as we treat an animal or a cow. But when I have to give something, to share something, to sacrifice something, so to reject some entertainment that will lead to my child's corruption, I don't do anything here. So it's a disaster, because the true love means sacrifice. And what sort of sacrifice? Not money or just some material stuff. It is too easy. But sacrifice is when we give up our habits, I mean bad habits, something that we are so used to, but we know that these things lead to our moral destruction. And it's not just leading to my children's destruction, but also to my destruction. But I don't want to admit it, because I'm higher than all of it. A series of very interesting caricatures by one Norwegian artist was published, three or four pictures one by one. They were just sketches, but very strong and illustrative ones. A respectable man comes to a museum and looks at Venus. That's the first picture. In the second picture, Venus blushes. He keeps looking at her. In the third picture, Venus is furious, it's obvious. In the fourth picture, she slaps him and he is thrown away from her. But he is an artist with the artistic purposes. He is watching her seriously, with dignity, of course. You must have thought something bad. So it's weird that Venus blushed and slapped him and he was thrown out of the museum. So it's clear. Is it clear for you? Unfortunately, he doesn't understand. And that's what often we parents do. And after that, we want our children to be pure. And where there is no purity, you can't hope for any good fruit of the upbringing. You can't. A person is not just a computer where you can upload some knowledge and it will be good. So it's not true. It's absolutely otherwise, because knowledge is like a double-edged sword, and with the same knowledge you can keep developing the science, but with the same knowledge you can enter and hack any computer, and you can steal anything you wish, and you can even start the Third World War, and you can rob some banks and break into banks and whatever. So knowledge is a double-edged sword, and the upbringing of children is only possible on the basis of self-upbringing. And when we turn to Christianity, I can say that upbringing is only possible on the basis of the reasonable Christian life, because sometimes it happens to be very unreasonable, or even we come across some fanatics, but fanaticism is against Christianity. We should be reasonable, and I mean even in our church life, even here, we should be very, very careful. And regarding children, there should be no violence, but there should be some help. So violence and help are two different things. Up to some age, yes, of course, we need to wake up a child and go to church, but it depends on age. Because sometimes you can come to church for half an hour, but not more, because he's not old enough and he can't stand more. But you shouldn't go too far. You shouldn't go too far, so there should be no swings. And a very important thing that also makes a family more united is the joint reading of the prayers. So you can start from something small, the joint reading of prayers, even disregarding any religious worldview, even, you know, without that. What does a prayer do? People come down from everything, Everybody stands in front of an icon, and in the silence of a soul, the prayers are read, and we are reminded about what? About who we are indeed, and not in our dreams, and about who we should be, and about what a human being is. So all the prayers depict the holiness and the norm of the human life, and on the other hand, they testify the state in which we are. So here, but not in the sense of Freud, we have self-analysis. It is so important. We can see ourselves objectively, because when we think about our sins, it's not suppression. It's not true. I have to see my diseases, because otherwise I will never go to a doctor. So I have to see them. Then I will fight them, and I will get healed, and I will look for the means to get cured. So a prayer is a very important thing. So when a family gathers, at least for 10 or 5 minutes together, we should all pray, not just read prayers, because it is terrible. No, who should read the prayers with attention and clearly, and a child will get used to self-analysis as well. The joint prayer is very important. In the same way, a family can be united and it can get stronger by the reading of good literature out loud. At some level, there are different levels of religious family. At least you can read some good classic literature that sets us great images and examples. The fairy tales, we can read great, beautiful folk fairy tales, they're just amazing. You can comment on something together with a child. So reading out loud unites a family to a great extent. Do you remember Menshikov at the time of Peter the First? And in the end he was exiled. You remember these pictures when they were all together reading there, you know, reading the Bible and discussing how it should be understood. So this spiritually unites people. Oh my God, sometimes we do not pay attention to it. We are so distracted. This pathetic television takes away all our time and we can't find time for good things. What are we doing to ourselves? There are tons of great literature and we are allowing all this dirt to enter our soul by means of television. So joint reading of great literature, including the children's literature, will serve as a great means to unite our family and to make it the whole single body and the little church. That means